days, it would be tough to be an electrician. So I appreciate Ben Fury and his fine staff. It would also not be a great time of year to be selling vacuums door to door as I once did. We go to the Revolution Hotline without further ado to start our second hour. The Sunbelt Commissioner, who will have the distinct pleasure of spending some one-on-one time with me next week in New Orleans. It's going to be fun for me, at least. I'm coming to his town. So, Carl Benson joining us on the Revolution Hotline. Good morning, Commissioner. How are you?
Very well. Good morning to you, Justin, and I look forward to seeing you Monday and Tuesday. And my understanding that you'll be coming live back to your listeners in Little Rock from the new worldwide headquarters of the Sun Belt Conference next Wednesday morning, as we've just moved into new offices, sitting here with you this morning at the Mercedes-Benz Louisiana Superdome.
Do you get a car deal with that?
I was about to say, is there a Mercedes available for you?
You know, what's interesting is I drove to Birmingham yesterday for some meetings at the SEC and then drove back and just actually walked into the office, and the Mercedes plant that is somewhere between, I guess, Meridian and Tuscaloosa is an unbelievable facility if you haven't seen it. So
I'll have to check that out. Well, I'm looking forward to seeing your new offices. Always a good any opportunity to go to New Orleans is a good opportunity. So I'm excited about being down there. And this is one of the busier years. And for folks here in Arkansas, certainly there are a lot of connections to the Sun Belt this season, even more so than usual. New head coach at ASU, Bobby Petrino landing at Western Kentucky, Idaho coming in, and of course, as people around here know, Paul Petrino is the new head coach there. They'll join the league officially next year. But July 1st was a big day for the league. Can you talk about that a little bit and the inward and outward movement of teams in the league?
Well, it's part of our membership transition is North Texas and Florida International and Florida Atlantic and Middle Tennessee depart for Conference USA. We are fortunate enough to be able to bring in University of Texas Arlington, Texas State, and Georgia State, and it is a year of transition. You mentioned Idaho and New Mexico State will join the Sun Belt a year from now as football-only members, along with Appalachian State and Georgia Southern. So it has been a busy past year. I've been in the chair for just a little longer than a year. We've added seven schools and lost five. So I look at it as a positive year in terms of our membership. We certainly did not want to lose any members, but it's part of the current conference landscape. But I think we were really, really lucky to get the ones we are bringing in this year and next year. Some tremendous upside, you know, not just on the football side, but across the board. So I'm real happy with the result. And you know, we still perhaps have one more move to make. You know, if we're going to get to 12 football playing schools, which we made a decision back in the spring that's the direction we wanted to go, we still have one more piece of the puzzle that we'll continue to explore and analyze and evaluate. But it does look, Justin, that kind of the landscape around us, the environment around us, may be settling down and stabilizing, which will allow us now to focus on building the conference and establishing the kind of the name recognition with who's in what conference. Not just the Sun Belt, but pretty much every conference in the country has had membership change in the last 18 to 24 months.
Yeah, speaking of stability, ASU has had quite a bit of success the last couple of seasons, and I know they're hoping to have some stability going forward with Brian Harsin. And Coach Harsin is someone who was in studio one day here. I did not get a chance to see him. I was out that day, and I'm looking forward to spending some time with him down in New Orleans. But he's somebody that you have a little bit of a background with. I guess you guys share a background with Boise State, right?
Well, we're both Boise State alums, and he was on the Boise State staff during the time that I was the commissioner of the Western Athletic Conference, and I saw Brian on the floor of the Phoenix University of Phoenix Stadium in Glendale, Arizona, on that great 2007 Fiesta Bowl when Boise State beat Oklahoma, and Brian was upstairs calling those last plays, and ran into him on the field as he came down from the booth to get to the post-game celebration, and tell you what, he was one happy, and I think he was what 28 years old maybe at that time. Yeah. So he looked like a kid on Christmas morning.
So needless to say, you feel like ASU got a good man in their head coach.
Absolutely, and you know, a year ago when I came in, you know, I tried to bring with me kind of the Boise State philosophy on the football side and from a scheduling standpoint, and I said often that there isn't any reason that Arkansas State or other Sun Belt schools couldn't be the next Boise State. And I mean, I saw it up close, and I saw it firsthand in 2001, Boise State's first year, in the WAC. They did not have, you know, the pieces and the foundation and some of the structure that several Sun Belt schools have, including Arkansas State. So, again, it takes some strategic scheduling, and Brian certainly, you know, was part of that and saw that, and I think it's a message that we're going to try to instill in all Sun Belt football programs that you have to be smart to schedule, you have to be strategic, you can't put yourself at a disadvantage by overplaying opponents the first month of the year, and what that can do to the second half of the year. And you know, Boise State made itself, you know, forget about the win over, you know, over Oklahoma or later on against a TCU or then a Virginia Tech. They made their mark by dominating the WAC to the point of, you know, losing four games in 8 years, I believe. And you know, in Arkansas State now with back-to-back champions, you know, people often ask me, you know, what's better for the conference, to have parity or to have a team that dominates? And from a national recognition standpoint, I think it's better to have that one team. And if it can be a team that does it multiple times, then you know that I think that establishes credibility throughout the league.
Yeah, that being said, it was a banner year last year because of the multiple appearances in bowl games. And I know you're hoping to repeat that this year. And Arkansas fans are already starting to get nervous about that opening game with Lafayette, a team that had a near miss last year at Florida. And certainly those kinds of games, whether you're in them or you eventually win them, certainly help to raise the level of attention that your league gets.
Well, and again, you know, great performances by Arkansas State and UL Lafayette in the bowl games, and you know, we had five bowl eligible teams, four that went to bowl games, and which is the most in history. And our non-conference record last year was the best ever, and I think that it's going to be important coming into this year. And I think our coaches recognize that, you know, that we need to demonstrate that last year wasn't just a flash in the pan, so to speak, and that this is the beginning of the regularity, and that this is what Sun Belt football will be able to perform at that level year after year after year.
With Media Days coming up next week and Bobby Petrino's story, I'm assuming that there has been, I mean, I know for our listeners there's a lot of interest and maybe a way there hasn't been in the past. Are you guys seeing an uptick at all as far as the level of media interested in coming to Media Days this year with all the changes going on, and especially with the Bobby Petrino story as part of it?
Yeah, I don't know how much of it can be, you know, attributed to Coach Petrino. I think just in general, Sun Belt football is taking on a greater, you know, greater name recognition and has more visibility. And again, this is a transition year. You know, Western Kentucky, this is their final year in the, you know, in the Sun Belt, and you know, I'd rather focus on, you know, on Brian Harsin at Arkansas State and new coach Trent Miles at Georgia State. And interesting enough, Trent Miles, you know, and I crossed paths. He was an assistant coach at Fresno State back in my days with the WAC. So to have two new head coaches in Brian and Trent that both bring, you know, some great background from two outstanding football programs. So I think that's what I'm going to be focusing on, not necessarily you know, some of the other I don't know if distraction is the right word or not.
Yes, the other storylines. Yeah.
Yeah. So
Carl Benson joining us, Sun Belt Conference Commissioner. Georgia Southern, Appalachian State, a couple of prestigious programs at the FCS level moving up and joining the conference as well down the road. Had a chance to travel to Georgia Southern last year, and I mean, just an unbelievable facility. I was blown away, honestly. So when I found out that they were coming to the Sun Belt, I thought it was a a spectacular addition. Can you talk about those programs? I know it's still a little bit down the road here, but
well, it's not too early. I mean, their coaches are going to be here next week, so you'll get a chance to meet both coaches from Georgia Southern and Appalachian State, and you know, teams that have won multiple national championships at the FCS/1AA. And mm-hmm. you know, I've had an opportunity to be on both campuses this spring, and what you see from a football standpoint, you know, is really, really solid from a facility standpoint. And you know, Appalachian State probably even a higher degree than Georgia Southern. Georgia Southern has some facility renovations on tab, but App State's structure is magnificent, and you know, both programs have averaged historically well over 20,000 a season, and you know, they look more like an FBS program than an FCS program. Mm-hmm. So you know, we're expecting that you know that they will be able to come in. They'll take advantage of the extra scholarships that they haven't had before, and I think they'll compete quickly in the Sun Belt. A little anecdote here regarding Appalachian State: their first football game under the Sun Belt banner, the first time that they'll be wearing Sun Belt patches on their uniforms, will be at the University of Michigan. Hmm. 5 years after they went into Ann Arbor, and
how about that?
Shocked the world. So I think I know where I'm going to be next September 3rd or 4th or whatever that date is.
Yeah, well, it's like I was saying, any excuse to come to New Orleans is a good one. Any excuse to go to the Big House and watch football is a good one too. So that'll be a pretty spectacular environment, I'm sure. What about the college football playoff? And we've talked to Terry Mahajer about this, but from your perspective, what role, what do you see? And you were talking about, again, having a team that you think, from a prestige standpoint, maybe having a team dominate and get in that conversation. But where do you see the playoff going? Do you expect it to stay at four? What role does your league play in that? Can you talk to me a little about the overall on the playoff that's coming next year?
The you know, the four-team playoff, it took a long time to get to four, and I don't expect that there's going to be immediate movement. And again, just one man's opinion. I think that even though it's a 12-year contract, I would be surprised if there was anything, you know, any tweaking of it in the first 6 years. But again, that's just one man's opinion. I think that it brings the fact that the Sun Belt is incorporated in this and continues to be, you know, part of the, you know, these 10 conferences. And you know, one of the other kind of messages that we've tried to make here over the course of the last year is that, you know, that the Sun Belt, even though it's the youngest FBS conference, it's one of only 10 conferences, and so we're around elite other conferences. And you know, the way that the Sun Belt champion has an opportunity to play into the playoffs, obviously if they finish the season in the top four, they're guaranteed a spot. But besides those two semifinal games, there's going to be six other games that will be labeled, tagged as kind of the elite postseason. And the highest ranked champion of the five conferences that are so-called non-automatic, Sun Belt, Conference USA, Mid-American, Mountain West, and the New American Conference, formerly the Big East, the highest champion of that group of five will get an automatic slot, regardless of their ranking, into one of those six games. And with that comes some significant financial rewards. So that's what we're playing for, and that's the message that, you know, that our coaches have heard, is that, you know, that we want to be in that mix, and we want a champion that will, you know, will perhaps get into one of those six games in the very, very near future. But even besides that, Justin, the other piece of this that probably kind of goes a little under the radar is that the five conferences that I just mentioned also will be competing against each other for, again, some significant revenue stream that the highest ranked conference from top to bottom, when we haven't, just like the four-team selection committee hasn't been finalized, we haven't finalized what type of methodology, you know, we will use to rank the Sun Belt 1 through 11 come 2014. And the conference that is ranked the highest of the five also will get a financial reward. So we're going to be competing not just for the spot in one of the six games, but also with those four other conferences. And I think that's going to be it's going to add to the excitement. It's going to add to the rivalries that with Conference USA that certainly are right here in our footprint. So mm-hmm. I think 2014 will be a boost for college football and a boost for the Sun Belt.
Sun Belt Commissioner Carl Benson joining us on the Revolution Hotline. I have about 20 other things I want to get to, but since I'm going to have a chance to visit with you in person next week, I'm going to hold some of that. But I do want to ask, I know you're up here recently and taking a look at what is at this point being referred to as the Rice Bowl potentially being played in Little Rock. And as we saw last year, there certainly is hopefully long-term a need for additional bowl slots for the Sun Belt Conference. But just kind of give us an update, if you could, from the league's perspective as to where we are in the process.
Well, this is the last year of kind of the existing bowl landscape. The NCAA's had a long-time moratorium in place that has kept any new games from being created. So this is the first time that there's an opportunity for new games. And, again, one of the other charges that I had a year ago when I came in was to secure, if not one, two additional bowl games for the Sun Belt. And that would either come from an existing, one of the existing bowls or launching, creating a new bowl. And my understanding that the idea of a bowl game in Little Rock has been in place for 5-6 years and kind of comes and goes, and the moratorium kept it from being established earlier. And yet the stars are kind of lined up, and Chris Peterson, the athletic director, University of Arkansas, Little Rock, to his credit, has taken the point position on this and has put together a kind of unofficial list of prominent corporate and political media in Little Rock to kind of be his little cabinet, and they're moving forward. And I think that the possibility of it being referred to as the Rice Bowl is pretty good. I'm confident that 2014 there will be a bowl game. December of 2014 there will be a game in Memorial Stadium, and I think it'll be a great venue. It'll be a great destination, and again, it fits in the Sun Belt footprint.
I like that. Well, if he's putting a good cabinet together and he hasn't asked me, he's obviously doing things the right way. So I'm very confident.
I think there's an age limit on that, Justin.
I'm almost 40-ish.
Okay.
I mean, as Mike Gundy once famously said. So anyway, like I said, we've got a lot of things to get into, but I'm looking forward to being down there, and we'll go over some of this next week. But it's certainly exciting times to be a football fan and a basketball fan and the other sports, of course. I know you're an old baseball guy, so certainly the league has done a good job in that regard as well. So lots of exciting times with the league, and looking forward to being with you in person next week.
As always, and safe travels, and I'm sure there'll be some food and beverage waiting for you.
Yeah, just make sure there's a few oysters left when I get there.
You got it.
All right, thank you.
You bet. Bye, Justin.
All right, take care. Carl Benson, the commissioner of the Sun Belt Conference.